Hi everyone, welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Jamie.
So today we're looking at part two of our TOEIC article. It's all about doing business overseas. So yesterday we talked a bit about the pros and cons of it, right?
Sure, and this actually goes into maybe some more details in regards to that.
Yeah, we're going to look at some of the... We talked yesterday about having to overcome some obstacles, okay? Obstacles being problems and barriers and things that will stop you from succeeding. So we're going to take a look in a bit more detail at a few of those obstacles. And we'll also look at a couple of things you can do to kind of make sure you're going to be successful, a few precautions you can take and a few things that you'll need to do if you're thinking of doing it.
Right, and there's obviously one of the major challenges, which we'll talk about as we go through the article, is cultural differences, because something that may seem very interesting and cool over in Taiwan, that same idea may seem a little strange in Europe or the U.S., and also vice versa, the same way the other way.
Exactly. All right, we're going to read through the article first, and then we'll take a look at some of the English we use in it. Once a company is established in its domestic market, it will often start to look overseas. However, going global requires much more than simply opening up an overseas office. Here are some things that a business has to consider before it commits to an overseas expansion. One hurdle to overcome is the differences in language and culture. These don't just form a barrier to communication. Advertising that is appropriate or humorous in one culture may be controversial or just plain confusing in another. This means a company might need to develop a whole new marketing strategy to sell its products in the new market. On top of this, there are legal and regulatory challenges in moving to a new market. Experts in all kinds of fields will be needed to make sure the new office is following all the local laws and working closely with the local authorities. One example of this is making sure any overseas factories meet the necessary quality control requirements for the product. One of the best ways to solve many of these problems is to employ local representatives. They are able to speak a country's local language, understand cultural differences, and deal with the local authorities. Finally, it's important to be patient. A company shouldn't expect its overseas expansion to be successful overnight. Only with a lot of sensible planning and elbow grease can a business compete on the world stage. Hi guys, welcome back. So that is our article. Time to have a look. The title, of course, is Doing Business Overseas. Overseas is a word we mentioned in yesterday's lesson. It basically means abroad, and that's all what this is about, doing business overseas.
And the article opens by saying once a company is established in its domestic market, it will often start to look overseas. So the word domestic is another way of saying the local market within the country. So if we're here and we start to talk about the domestic market, we are talking about within Taiwan. And the sentence is saying that once a company is established, once it's set up, once it's very stable, then it can, in the local market, the domestic market, then it can start to look overseas. But if you just open a company and you try to maybe go overseas, that's probably a little bit too soon.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to go too fast because you'll probably end up overreaching yourself and getting in trouble. The article continues and says, however, going global requires much more than simply opening up an overseas office. This phrase, go global, or here, going global, is one, again, we mentioned yesterday, just means expanding abroad, taking whatever you've got from your country out into the international community. But doing so, you can't just open up an office overseas. Now, okay, we're going to open an office in Hong Kong, everything will be great. It's not that easy.
The article continues to say, here are some things that a business has to consider before it commits to an overseas expansion. So this is introducing the fact that there are many things a business has to consider or think about before it commits to opening an office overseas. Now, this word commits here, Pat, what does this mean?
Well, in this case, commit can mean a few things. You could talk about, you know, committing a crime or committing an error. Here, to commit means to kind of promise or pledge someone or something to a certain course of action or a certain policy. You could talk about the government committing certain amounts of money to improve, you know, the local education, or committing to improve the roads and the environment, or a company's CEO committing to increasing profits by 5%. You know, it's basically saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put all our energy in. You know, we've made that, we're going to make that decision, and we're not going to go back on it. So here, committing to an overseas expansion says, you know, we're going to do it, and we're going to throw all our energy into it, and we're, you know, not going to stop until either we're successful or it's completely impossible. You know, they're not talking about thinking about it or half trying it. They're talking about, no, we're going for it.
Right. It's a very, very strong promise to do something, sure. The article goes on to say one hurdle to overcome is the differences in language and culture. And hurdle is basically, if you ever watch track and field and you see the runners during a race, they have to jump over an object. That's actually a hurdle. And here it's saying one hurdle to overcome. So it's not literally a hurdle, but it's one obstacle to overcome is the differences in language and culture. As we've discussed before, it makes a big difference. One advertisement in one country might not be successful in another. One way to do business in one country might seem strange in another country.
Exactly. The sentence next says these, which means the differences in language and culture, these don't just form a barrier to communication. Okay, so of course, language problems will mean it's not as easy to communicate with people in another country. Some of the business phrasing, just even some of the ordinary words that you use may not be understood. You have to be very clear in how you communicate, because language differences form a barrier. Now, this word barrier is similar to the word hurdle and the word obstacle, which we've already mentioned. It's something, it could be physical, it could just be something that keeps things or people apart or prevents progress, prevents communication, okay? So if, for example, a government wanted to pass a law, the opposition party and the government could keep raising barriers to stop that law being passed. Now, these aren't real barriers like walls, but they're just more obstacles, more things to slow them down and stop it from progressing.
Right. And next, the article goes on to say advertising that is appropriate or humorous in one culture may be controversial or just plain confusing in another. So, first we're talking about advertising. So advertising is a way that you promote your product. There are several different ways that you can do this. Probably one of the best examples is if you see a commercial on TV that is advertising for a certain product. Another one would be you can place an ad, which is a form of advertising, and you could do that in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. So what we're talking about here is a specific example, not just communication. We're talking about advertising. So in one country, you could make a really good advert. You know, it's humorous. It makes people laugh. It's appropriate for that culture. You know, it's suitable. It's the right sort of thing for the people who are going to watch TV or are going to see it in a newspaper. You know, they're going to understand it. They're going to think it's suitable for them. But what works in one country might not work in another, okay? So an advert that people in America think is really funny, you take that to, you know, maybe somewhere like China or the Middle East, and it's possibly confusing. People just don't understand the humor. Or it might even be controversial. Now, this word controversial is an adjective, and it means it gives rise to or is likely to cause to some kind of controversy, public disagreement, okay? If something is controversial, it generates strong feelings. Some people might get very unhappy about it. People will strongly attack or defend it. It causes arguments. So suppose, you know, a lot of adverts, let's be fair, they kind of use sexy images sometimes to sell products. It's well known, you know, they have pretty girls in, you know, kind of nice clothes or not many clothes trying to sell something, which works fine in some countries, but possibly in another country that's going to cause a big problem.
Right, exactly. And the last thing usually that you want when you are going to be advertising a product, especially if it's a family product, is you don't want it to be controversial, because if it's controversial, a lot of people are saying bad things about it, and a lot of times companies will take controversial advertisements and they will get rid of them because they don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah, as the next sentence says, this means a company might need to develop a whole new marketing strategy to sell its products in the new market. So a marketing strategy is how you market itself and your goods or your services. So they might need to change the whole thing. We go, well, this worked here in the States, or this worked in Taiwan, but the same strategy won't work abroad. We'll have to completely change how we market, how we advertise. Otherwise, we won't sell things.
Right, exactly. And marketing strategy can even expand and include the different types, maybe changing where and what kind of ads you run. For example, everybody in Taiwan has a computer and they are on the internet, so it might make sense to have a lot of internet advertisements if you're selling a product in Taiwan. But perhaps if you are going to maybe sell a product in another country that is not as rich as Taiwan and they don't have a lot of computers there, you might have to change your marketing strategy. And instead of putting advertisements on the internet, maybe you would send out mail or something like that.
Okay, so we now move on to the next problem. It says, on top of this, there are legal and regulatory challenges in moving to a new market. Now, just the phrase on top of just means in addition to or as well as. So there are legal problems, so there's laws that have to be met, and regulatory challenges. Regulatory is to do with following guidelines, kind of. They're not quite the same as laws, but they are the accepted rules and codes of a business or an industry. So this talks about, for example, the kind of advertising you could use on a package, or the way you can advertise something and what you have to put on a label in order for it to follow and, you know, kind of basically follow all the rules and codes.
Right. The article goes on to say experts in all kinds of fields will need to make sure that the new office is following all the local laws and working closely with the local authorities. So local authorities are just the people that are in usually governmental positions. So the mayors, the different maybe transportation groups, everybody in this kind of field. And in the beginning of the sentence, it says experts in all kinds of fields. Now, we're not talking about a literal field here. We're just talking about different areas and professions. So, for example, experts in all kinds of fields might refer to, you know, people maybe in the environmental government agency, also in a transportation agency, in different governing bodies, too, as well.
Okay. One example of this kind of problem is making sure any overseas factories meet the necessary quality control requirements for the product, okay? Now, this is a problem that some people have if they get a product made in a factory in, you know, maybe a poorer country where labor is cheaper, then maybe the quality standards, making sure everything is clean, everything is efficient, and all the processes are followed, is maybe not the same as a factory, say, in Germany, where everything is very efficient and controlled. So you need to make sure the quality control requirements are met. So making sure everything is done properly, making sure everything follows all the laws and all the regulations and has an official stamp to say, yes, this factory is doing all these things. Because sometimes if you don't have that, then a country will say, well, I'm afraid this wasn't made in a suitable factory. We can't buy it.
Right. And another interesting thing to note about quality control is there's an abbreviation that's commonly used is QC. So if somebody says that they're into QC, that means that they're involved in some quality control requirements or procedures, making sure that that's taken care of. The article goes on to say one of the best ways to solve many of these problems is to employ local representatives. So the word employ is just another way of saying to hire. And it's saying local representatives, and a local representative is someone who will represent you in that country or someone who will work with you and be able to work on your behalf.
Exactly. Now, I used to work for an international business. It was a healthcare business, and it had offices all around the world. And, of course, in the offices in all these places, we had local people who could speak the language, they knew the laws, they knew the marketing side of things, they understood everything. So even though this was a British company, we didn't send British people everywhere. We had people employed in that country. I got to meet quite a lot of them when I went to some of the countries or when the people came to England to meet us, and they understood how things work there. As the article says, they, the representatives, are able to speak a country's local language, understand cultural differences, and deal with the local authorities. So basically, they know how to get things done. There's no language barrier, they understand the culture, and they have working relationships with the people in authority and can find out what needs to be done and how best to do it.
And the final tip in the article, it says, finally, it's important to be patient, right? So if you are being patient, that means you have to take your time. You can't rush things. You're better off taking things slow. And it says a company shouldn't expect its overseas expansion to be successful overnight. And this basically is just driving home that point. If something is successful overnight, it doesn't literally mean in one night, but that means right away it's successful, immediately. And the article is saying that a company should not expect this to happen.
Mm-hmm. It finishes by saying, only with a lot of sensible planning and elbow grease can a business compete on the world stage. So sensible here just means something that's a good idea, something where you're going to get success because you're kind of planning ahead and you're thinking about it. So sensible planning, making sure you know what the problems are and how you'll meet them. Now, that's one thing you need. The other is elbow grease. Jamie, what is elbow grease?
Elbow grease is one of my favorite sayings. I like this. This means like a lot of hard work. So for example, if you need elbow grease, you know, you really have to dig in. And let's say if you're fixing a car, you might say, we got to fix this, but we need a little bit of elbow grease. So that means you really have to put in a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you need both of those things to compete on the world stage. To compete just means to be able to do as well as other people, to have an equal chance of success. And the world stage is just kind of another way of saying internationally. Okay, if you want to compete internationally on the world stage and do well as a business, you'll need sensible plenty of elbow grease. All right, we're going to hand over to our Chinese teacher right now. We'll be back in a few minutes to look at some of today's discussion questions.
大家好, 我是Tommy. 今天是多益单元的第二天, Doing Business Overseas, 介绍到海外经商的实用方法。 首先, 我们看到第一段第二句, However, going global requires much more than simply opening up an overseas office. 然而, 要成为全球化企业所需要的远不只是开一间海外办公室而已。Going global表示成为全球化。Go 在此句是连缀动词, 后面接形容词 而不是副词, 用go 加形容词 可以表示变成什么什么的。比如说 go green 变环保的, go crazy, go mad 变得疯狂的,抓狂的。接下来课文说, Here are some things that a business has to consider before it commits to an overseas expansion. 这里有一些事项是企业在致力于扩展海外之前需要考虑的。片语, commit somebody something to something, 表示将某人或某事物投注在某事物上。比如说, The boss committed extra resources to the new project. 老板把额外的资源投注在新的计划上。另外, commit 也可以用于被动语态。 Be committed to doing something 是致力于做某事的意思。相当于 be devoted to 或 be dedicated to. 例如, The charity is committed to saving more lives. 这家慈善机构致力于拯救更多生命。下一段中，课文说到，海外发展需要克服语言文化的隔阂。第三句提到行销手法， Advertising that is appropriate or humorous in one culture may be controversial or just plain confusing in another. 在某个文化中， 合宜或幽默的广告在另一个文化中可能是有争议性的，或者只会使人感到相当困惑。句中使用 one 点点点 another 点点点的句型，表示在一个不特定的范围内，一个如何如何，另外一个又如何如何。那么如果我们要说明在特定范围的两者之间，一个如何如何，剩下另一个又如何如何的话，就要用 one 点点点 the other 点点点这样的用法。比如说 Mr. Wu has two sons. One is tall and the other is short. 吴先生有两个儿子，一个高，另一个矮。第三段说明其他在海外经营会遇到的挑战。 On top of this,There are legal and regulatory challenges in moving to a new market. 除此之外，前进新市场还有法规方面的挑战。句子开头的 on top of 在这里是 in addition to, besides 的意思，表示除了上一段的语言文化隔阂，还有法规方面的问题要处理。除了这个用法，片语 on top of something 也可以当作成功控制局面的意思。比如说 The home team was on top of the game and beat their opponents by 3-0 last night. 主场球队昨晚掌控了比赛，以3-0打败敌手。接着看到这一段最后一句， One example of this is making sure any overseas factories meet the necessary quality control requirements for the product.其中一个例子就是确保所有的海外工厂都符合该产品所需的品管要求。 Meet the requirement 表示符合要求， Meet 在这里是符合的意思。 Meet 另外还有一个常见片语 Make ends meet， 字面上看起来是使两端相符，其实就是收支相抵，收支平衡的意思。比如说 BobWorks 12 hours a day in order to make ends meet. Bob 为了要使收支平衡，每天工作12小时。在文章的结尾，最后一句使用倒装句型，强调成功发展海外企业的关键。课文说 Only with a lot of sensible planning and elbow grease can a business compete on the world stage. 只有具备大量的明智规划和苦干实干，企业才能在世界舞台上竞争。原本应该是 A business can compete on the world stage only with a lot of sensible planning and elbow grease. 以 only 引导的介系词片语开头，主词 a business 和助动词 can 就要倒装。此外 only 后面可以接副词或副词子句，如果放在句首，该句或主要子句也需要倒装。来举个例子， Only when you have your own kid will you realize how much your parents have done for you. 只有当你有了自己的孩子，你才会了解到你的父母为你付出了多少。
Hi guys, welcome back. It's time to look at today's discussion questions. And the first of these is, what other problems might a company wanting to expand overseas face? In other words, we've mentioned advertising, we've mentioned language, we've mentioned legal and regulatory challenges. What else could there be?
Well, for starters, I think one major problem that companies have,depending on where they're making their goods, can be tax laws. And if they want to import their products, they often will have to pay a higher price than if they're going to compete with a domestic manufacturer. So all of a sudden you have the same price, but you have to sell, your profits are going to shrink because you have to pay more because you're importing the product into another country. The other thing I can probably think of is competition, because you're going to be taking, if your company is very popular in your home country, and then all of a sudden you take it abroad, the product, there's probably going to be a local competitor maybe in that country, and they're going to be selling that product, and you're going to have to face them, and that can be a pretty difficult task.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, can you think of anything else?
Yeah, one that I'm going to add is about registration. Okay, what this means is when you're selling something overseas, you don't just turn up and, you know, you've got a load of these products and you go into the supermarket and put them on shelves, or you just open up a store and say, hey, come and buy this stuff. For a lot of products, you have to register them. Okay, which means you have to take them to the local government and say, this is what this is, this is what it does, okay, we're going to sell it. Is that okay? And if the government doesn't approve, you can't sell it, okay? So you can't just bring it in and just start selling. You need to make sure that the product is registered, and this means providing a lot of information, and it's a long process that could take years before you can start doing it.
And for the second question, discussion question, it asks, if you could work overseas, which country would you prefer to work in? Pat, why don't we start off with you? What would you prefer to work?
I mean, I guess Taiwan is obviously going to be there as well. We're right
here.
So. We're working here, and we enjoy working here. We're going to stay working here, so that's one. If there was another country that I would quite like to work in, of ones that I've visited, I very much enjoyed both Australia and New Zealand. The atmosphere, the countryside was beautiful. It made it easier that the culture and language was obviously a lot more similar. So I wouldn't mind working in either of those two places. Somewhere else? Not sure. Maybe Germany.
Germany's
quite nice.
Yeah, very clean country, a very nice place to visit, lots of attractions, old castles.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to choose one, it's a very tough choice. Obviously, I'm glad I selected Taiwan to stay here, but if I could pick another one, it might actually be Brazil, I think. I like Brazil, as I'm sure you guys have seen, the World Cup was played there. It's a very beautiful country. The weather is very hot, which I like.
Yeah.
And they're very into sports, soccer, you know, mixed martial arts and things like that. So I think that would be an excellent place to work as well.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Singapore, maybe. Singapore sounds quite nice. It's an interesting town. Who knows?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Have a think about yourselves. Talk about these questions with each other and practice your English, okay? But for now, that is all we've got time for. So once again, thanks for listening from English Digest. I'm Pat.
I'm Jamie.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.